Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today we are going to answer a question. I guess somebody had asked Jeff recently about what are some of your favorite books that you've read. We're going to do two different shows. So this one will be on training books, and the next one will be just on general books about everything. Yep. So where'd you get this idea, Jeff?
Yeah, so someone that Sal, just Sal, Sal's his first name. He's got a he's a beekeeper in Tucson, outside Tucson. Had said, hey, you know, give me, can you and Stu do a show on top five training books or whatever it is? And so keep in mind, it's not super easy to like relegate it to five or seven or even 10, right? So this is kind of a living sort of catalog or library, if you will. But the five that I chose are something that not super heavy parochial, but they're something that these books individually each kind of made me think a little bit deeper and be a little more critical of my coaching. And so, or my knowledge, where I'm seeking knowledge and how I do it. And so these are five books that were beneficial to me in that regard.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I took this challenge on because I got 50 books right above my computer screen here, and try to pick out the top five. And what I did as a theme was, how did these change the way I think and change the way I do training?
Yeah.
Or maybe.
And I still, these also books fall in this category for me because I still reference them, just say, hey, read them. These are some books that I still will look back into and reread chapters or portions of it.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So who wants to go first?
Let's
go back and forth.
You bet. I'll do one.
Let's go back and forth.
All right. Hopefully I can get to the screen. So this is one I reference quite a bit, and I'll leave it up here. Okay. So this is essentially a meta-analysis of protein research. So what does that mean? A meta-analysis is a collection of all peer-reviewed research over a period of time. And then that researcher basically summarizes all the research to come up with a conclusion.
I love reading meta-analysis. Be honest with you, I read more meta-analyses than I do books.
Yeah. And this particular person, a PhD, Lonnie Lowry, he also has a podcast. And it's the first strength conditioning podcast I started listening to, which led me to this book. And it's not an overly complex read. And the reason why, again, it just kind of drew me to it, because there's a lot of misconceptions about how healthy is protein, what's too much, and this does such a really, he's a professor at the University of Kansas as well. He does such a great job of actually understanding that, like, hey, this is deep research, and now I need to share it to a population of lifters and not just inundate them with statistics and just, there's a tremendous amount of reference in it because he has to, but the actual reading portions are very digestible.
I like that. And what is the name of this thing? I'm going to put links to all of these in the description of the video, just so we can kind of plug them for.
Yeah. It's the title of the book is called Dietary Protein and Resistance Training. And the PhD again is Dr. Lonnie Lowry.
Okay.
I got it held to the screen, Stu, if you want to get the spelling.
Got it. Cool. All right.
That's my first.
I like that one. I'll definitely check that one out. This one is one that you recommended a while back ago. In fact, we may have even done a few podcasts, maybe briefly discussing it. But you can't go wrong with the oxygen advantage, right? This really changed the way I focus on my breathing. I mean, so much so that it's difficult for me to wear a mask now when I, you know, like a scuba mask and try to swim with a scuba mask, because I'm such a nose breather now that it's difficult. So beware that, like, if you're going to have to go through a selection training and you're a nose breather, that whenever you put on a scuba mask and you're doing a lot of swimming, you'll be a mouth breather for those events. But anyway, great book. You know, some of the physiology behind it really made a lot of sense to
super good.
Why you
and then in the later chapters, right? In the later chapters, when you get into, he really starts beginning talking about the link to meditation, relaxation, and so forth.
Oh yeah,
it's almost like there's two books. It really kind of caught me off guard. He really transitioned quickly towards the later chapters, but I enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's so unique that what breathing can offer you physiologically, you know, it is performance enhancing, and it's also just the opposite. It can just calm you down and relax you and downregulate. Exactly. So,
yeah. And it's, and I think that book, surprisingly to me, even it was delivered the way he has written it was really well delivered to a general population. In my opinion,
would agree.
Okay, so this one right here, folks, I debated whether I was going to show this one, not because of its content, but because how hard it is to get this book. I waited for 3 years to get this book.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, and this is hands down the most comprehensive book on the topic.
Oh, wow.
So I'm talking like, and it has a picture of every single anabolic steroid on the market, fake or real, pictures of it, history. I'm talking every anabolic steroid that's ever been made, ever, is in this book. It is the reference. And I have the 9th edition and I have the 11th edition. And it's really, really hard. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to butcher it. And a bit, it's just reading about the author.
Yeah.
Is really, it gives you an idea of, because he basically was a journalist going, hey, he's not even a bodybuilder. Like he just came across it and he was just like, this is interesting how there's such a buzz in the 80s and 70s about it, but there's no information. So he started collecting people's vials and writing about it. And people were sending it to him for decades.
Huh.
And then he just compiled the book. And
just so, what people are putting in their bodies is
and so
pretty crazy.
And it's certainly there's probably some controversy surrounding it because it gives dosing, it gives cycles, it is absolute comprehensive guide on how to use, how to see if it's real, where it comes from. And for me, I looked at it going, well, it would be ignorant for me to think that the population that we train, people that lift weights, aren't going to ask the questions. I don't dive deep into it. I just usually reference this. And you can get 7th editions, 9th editions, and things like that a little easier. But this is the most recent edition. But I was on a waiting list for 3 years to get it.
Wow.
And you can only get it. You can only make that contact to him through his Facebook page. That's it. It's the only way he advertises.
Wow.
So it was one of those things that I thought was essential and I just waited.
Huh. Well, like I said, a lot of these that I have were because I wanted to learn more about it.
You bet. That's why I got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be naive to something that would be naive to ignore.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So Jeff and I both focus on tactical fitness. And typically, you know, we kind of play around with three phases of tactical fitness. You know, phase one being you got to pass a fitness test. Phase two being you got to pass the selection. Phase three is a lot more comprehensive. You know, it's the active duty operator and all of the, you know, maintenance of physical activity, stress mitigation, skill sets, you know, all these things come into play in tactical fitness on the, third phase of it. So, you know, I don't really write a whole lot about that phase other than just kind of differentiating the three phases. But I found this one, and you'll know, you know, Adam LaRue, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a company called O2X, and they actually wrote a human performance for tactical athletes. And this is all about phase three, because he has contracts with firefighters and police departments. I think he's doing something with some National Guard folks, and they are dealing with this. And they have a little – you know, science back.
Mike Sanders is part of that too. Yeah.
Yep. They're all teammates.
If I'm not mistaken, as far as the information in that book, that's Mike Sanders' information.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, certainly Adam is the catalyst for it and whatnot. And he's, you know, special operator from command that I was
yeah,
at.
Yeah. He didn't write it. It was, they had a PhD type okay. guy write it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause but, Mike was the, one of the strength coaches at the command when I was there and now, or I don't know if he's still there. He was a program manager for seventh group.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's really sure. good. But anyways, like I said, if you're already an active duty member of the, you know, a tactical population, meaning Army or military, police, firefighters, special ops, really good because it has everything in it from nutrition to
pretty comprehensive. You know, it's one of the few
exercise and you know, stress mitigation, probably the biggest part of that. Anyway, I like that one. Yep. So it's called Human Agreed. Performance for the Tactical Athlete, O2X.
And know what I'll do? What I'll also do too, Stu, I'll take a photo if you need me of the front of these books.
Okay.
So that way, spelling and reference and whatnot, if you want to.
Yeah, I'll look them up on Amazon too.
Okay.
Yeah. So
the third one. Yeah, I'm on the third one here. This one I came across. Oh, probably about 10 years ago, and I was introduced by this actual person. His name is Dr. Michael Yeses. He passed away a few years ago. He was a real pioneer in strength conditioning. Why? He's born in Russia, came to the United States in a fairly young age, had an affinity for strength conditioning and understood the Russian model at the time of how focused the Russian model was, like the fitness, how important it was in sports and those sort of things. But there was never an American that was allowed to go into St. Petersburg or Moscow into the library systems and start translating of the Russian manuals. This is the first ever allowance of that, where Dr. Yeses was allowed to take some of the Russian manuals and transfer them to an English book. So pretty pretty straightforward Russian right here.
Sure, I like it. Okay.
Yeah. So now, and this is what, here's the secret, is that the Russians, to this day, we're not talking about the anabolic side, ironically, that's what coming off the last book. We're all guilty of it. They're not throwing stones in the glass house because the Russians aren't the only one using anabolics, folks.
Sure.
In the Olympics. But when you read through this, you're like, oh, how basic. It's incredibly basic. But no one did the basics better than the Russians. No one still do, like, which is why they look like robots. That was what they're always accused of. And that was the catalyst of this book. He was so curious as to why everyone thought they looked like robots. It's like, well, but they're so fundamentally. So it's like watching a 12-year-old Puerto Rican that grew up with no gloves or anything. That was a shortstop. Like, all they could do is practice fundamentals.
Right.
And so when they get an opportunity to grow and they get opportunity to eat better and live, boom, all of a sudden you just get super athletes, right? And that's kind of like how I modeled my life in a sense. It's like I was so small, I couldn't do anything but practice fundamentals. When my size caught up with me, my athleticism really grew. And so this book really hit home for me because this is all I did as a kid is practice basics, basics, basics. And then my body finally grew. Wow, then basically my armory, so to speak, my options for training really expanded. And that's what this book is. It's really, really useful, especially if I was, you know, if I had this book when I was 12 years old, it would have been a total game changer for me.
Oh, wow. Like,
that's the book I would say, hey, if you're starting with strength conditioning, that's the one I would start with.
Got it. All right.
Aside so my next one. Aside from Stu Smith's calisthenics books.
All right. Yeah, I'm not putting any of mine on there today. I'm just. I thought I would joke around, but I decided not to. So, you know, back in probably early 2000s, I would say, as I was kind of new in the coaching world, kettlebells were getting popular. So with a Russian theme, I got Jeff Martone's book on kettlebells and just studied like all these movements and why, you know, people like this communist exercise device.
Yeah.
But no, it's okay. I don't do a lot of kettlebell work, but I do enough to realize it is a definitely, if that's what you really like doing, you could do all, you know, countless exercises with it. And Jeff Martone's book called Kettlebell, The Complete Guide for Athletes and Coaches, really good reference tool for, you know, building a variety of exercises for that.
He still is a consultant, I believe, for LA. So George Ryan, who we've met, or who you've met through me, LA SWAT, been for years and teaches. Jeff Martone was one of his mentors.
Right.
And it's like, again, like you start seeing these things where, like, you know, they get deeply immersed in the community because they're able to get deeply immersed in our community because they're so well trusted. And Jeff Martone is that guy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great, great teacher. I mean, in martial artists for life. He's been forever. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's how he came into LA SWAT and those guys. And he was initially their one of their combative instructors, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, well, what else you got? He's like, well, I've got this stuff too. I've got this torture device. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, really well renowned and respected guy in our communities.
Yep.
Yep. Here's one that I know I've mentioned a million times. Yes, I am biased a little bit because I've been on the fortunate receiving end of a lot of his instruction, tutelage, and mentorship. But I still, this book right here really fundamentally changed the way I thought about force production and force management. It completely solidified what I was doing was I was on the right track when it comes to power production, injury management, and that's Triphasic by Cal Dietz. It's this for me is probably one of the most fundamental books for athletics that I've ever read through and went, oh yep, I'm not crazy, mass, force, acceleration, you know, it's like holy moly. And then so it's really, this is a really cool thing because how this became about. So Cal has all of this in his head, right? All this information. And like me, I can't write for any, I'm a terrible writer. I'm so unpracticed. Ben Pedersen is now, he's a performance director for the Flyers. But before that, he was a PhD student at the University of Minnesota.
Nice.
Collaborating with Cal. He's like, hey, here's an idea. I have all this in my head. It would be a really good dissertation, but I can't write. And you need a dissertation and you know strength conditioning really, really well.
Genius.
So they collaborated. This is a PhD dissertation.
Wow.
Is what this is.
Yeah.
So for 3 years they worked on this book. It is absolutely ironclad in its information.
Nice.
It's brilliant. And it's just one of those perfect sort of amalgamants of Cal Dietz's genius, Ben Pedersen's understanding of that genius and being able to put it into text. And it's brilliant.
Mm. That's a good one. One thing that I realized I was not very good at doing was coaching plyometrics when I first got started. And just because, you know, for years, I didn't really worry about it. So I started looking around for different plyometric programs. And these really educated me. I can't say that they are groundbreaking in their process, but it, like I said, as a trainer, it gave me so much information, you know, to come up with new ideas and how to implement them into training. So high-powered plyometrics, Radcliffe and Farrington's, and also another one by Donald Chu, which goes a lot more into the physiology of what's going on in plyometrics. This is more for ideas. This is more physiology stuff. So, I just saw a lot of people doing plyometrics wrong and people getting hurt, especially younger athletes. Yep. There was a time when I was training a lot of younger athletes that were high school athlete level, you know, just working on their speed, working on jumping higher. And I needed to get smarter on some of those. So those were two good ones for me.
Yeah. My last one is I chose this one to go, I guess, last, but if there's one book I recommend for a young coach, a young trainer, or anyone that's training kids, this is the book. Because I always say, if you can train a 9-year-old boy or a 13-year-old girl how to move a little bit better, And you can train a professional athlete. You can train a tactical athlete if you can get past the ego, right? So this one is they're working on the second edition. This one is also each chapter is a different author. And fortunately, again, from my side, whether it's Bo Sandoval or it's Dr. David Martin, those people I've been really fortunate enough to learn under. And so this book is one of the first books that a coach should buy and read through and understand, because the way that the chapters flow from chapter to chapter, it's a real complete training guide to understand and understanding each principle, right? The first chapter is like, okay, how do I assess? Next chapter is like, okay, kids, like what are like, this is the first time I've ever seen this chart where it's like, it shows in puberty.
Oh,
okay. What the phases of adaptation for a child, for an adult, everything is okay. When should I be training speed? How long? This is the best general guide. I took these and blew these things up to huge posters and used to have them in our training facility.
Nice.
Because like his parents would come in, they're like, well, my kid needs to be doing plyometrics. I'm like, no, they don't. they're not physiologically
they're not ready yet. Yeah.
Yep. Like we need to develop hypertrophy, strength, so they can handle the plyometrics for exactly. that load. Yep. And so this really gives a coach and a trainer a real sort of like, hey, wait a minute. My education is good. I know what I'm doing. Like, hey, I know my principles, despite other people's opinions about, hey, my kid should be doing this or my athlete should be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I'm right. Stick to your gun. Like what they say, plan your dive, dive your plan. And this book does a really good job of allowing coaches to feel confident about what they're sharing with their athletes. And if you're not congruent with this sort of general process, then it's nice to kind of go, ooh, I got to rethink what I'm doing in this order. It's really good. And it's literally come from the top coaches in the world to this day still.
Gotcha. I like that one. I'll check that one out too. All right. So this one is, like I said, I was really trying to think about what changed the way I think, the way I train. And this one was instrumental in that. And I'm going to give the NSCA a plug here. Essentials of Strength and Conditioning. This is the book you study when you want to become a CSCS, a Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist. It's a great reference tool as well. A lot of physiology in it. That is, it's like being in a science class for a while. If you want to become a CSCS, go to NSCA.com and buy the book for that. And I will tell you, you have to read it from cover to cover, do every single question in the back of the chapters, and then take a couple practice tests online and you're good to go.
It
thoroughly prepares you for that test. So
yeah, that certainly wasn't planned. It's like the book that I showed is kind of like, it's the step, like, if you really expand and dive into the minutia of the book, they may be on their fourth edition. I know they have third, but I agree. I think that book, that is the most comprehensive, well thought out, well articulated, thorough exercise science book that's on the market in the United States.
I would agree.
It really is. Now, is it a textbook? Yes.
Yes.
And it is a deep textbook. Now, if you really want to take the profession of strength conditioning seriously, that's the book. That's it. That's the avenue. That's the organization, and that's the textbook.
Yeah. And here's another option for you. If haven't finished college and you still want to be a trainer that's certified by the NSCA, this is a good one as well. And it's all about tactical fitness. It's pretty much the same book, just pulled a, you know, it's a little different, you know, geared more towards the tactical athlete versus the collegiate Olympian high school athlete.
So like the very first person listed there, Brett Alvear. Brilliant. I had an opportunity to teach with him at 10th Special Forces, 10th Mountain Division, and also down at Fort Bragg.
Yeah, and these are all
these guys, books. Like all those guys, like every contributor to that book, Mark Stevenson, everyone in that book has worked in the field. And again, they may have a PhD behind their name, but before they had a PhD behind their name, they were on the floor coaching their ass off for decades. So all the respect goes to those authors of those two books.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Katie Sell, really big into the fire department. Yep. If you're that name looks familiar, Patricia Duster, she wrote all the Navy Spec War books, Navy mm-hmm. SEAL Nutrition, Navy SEAL Fitness Program. I mean, they're big, thick books, and they're free too. I think you can, when I say free, they're public source. So there may have been some printing companies that printed them. You got to buy them that way, but I know they're free.
Here's the other free way. Yeah. So if you have, here's the thing. All of those books are free if your career counselor does their job. Hmm. Because within continuing education, because of the CEU companionship with SOCOM and DOD, you can use your GI Bill, your Montgomery GI Bill, Post 11 GI Bill, or continuing education is offered to you for being active duty.
Nice.
Shouldn't have to pay for anything for the NSCA that says tactical on it. Just know that. No, people don't tell you that, but that's the truth.
That's awesome. So, should we do a recap?
I don't know.
Just real quick, 1 to 10. So, you posted.
I'll read the title. Just read the title, flash the book. How about that? What order did I go in?
Let's go all five of yours.
Okay, so my first one was dietary protein and resistance exercise.
Yep.
That's the first one. The second one was Bills Anabolics. That's what let's call it. Yeah, 11th edition. Yeah, the next one was Secrets of the Russian Sports and Fitness Training by the late great Dr. Michael Yesus. The fourth one for me was Triphasic Training by Cal Dietz and Ben Pedersen. Absolutely, anytime you look through my books and you see earmarks and yellow highlighters, it's a good one. Yeah. Right? So same with this one. So High Performance Training for Sports. David Joyce, forwarded by Mark Verstegen, right? So a lot of really, really great people, really great contributors to our community.
Gotcha. All right. So I had Oxygen Advantage. Once again, one of Jeff's recommendations. Human Performance by O2X, the team at O2X. That's, Tactical Fitness Phase 3. Kettlebells, Martone. You really want to learn about kettlebells? I mean, there's obviously a lot of kettlebell authors out there, and you know Pavel's probably the number one guy, but Martone has figured out a way to use it for, especially on the tactical side. Plyometrics, kind of have a library of plyometrics. Jumping into plyometrics, I like high power plyometrics, and of course the NSCA books. Like I said, this one was life-changing for me, especially as a writer. It really does make a difference if you can put CSCS at the end of an article.
If you want to publish, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Or you want to present, it certainly is valuable.
Yeah. It's, if you look at all the college, I mean, obviously they have masters and PhDs, but they are definitely want you to also know that they have a CSCS. Yep. So
right now in Major League Baseball, 3 years ago, the Players Association, which is good, negotiated that all strength conditioning staff have to have a CSCS. And then now they have to have the certified strength conditioning specialist. They have to have that.
Nice.
You can't even coach in Major League Baseball without it now.
Good.
So in the NCAA is either, you have to have either CSCS or a CSCCA, which is the college strength conditioning. They're always competing and they always will. And I think they just make each other better. I think that having a single certification is a bad idea.
Absolutely.
And it's nice. I'm really happy that the CSCCA is putting pressure on the NSCA.
Yeah.
So same in NBA and NFL, not quite so much, but that's because the Players Association, we can negotiate other things. But if you are Olympic strength coach, the USOC only endorses the CSCS. And then unless you have a PhD in it, and it can expire, but you have had a CSCS and have been coaching in that field.
Right.
Yeah. So that's any indicator.
Like I said, it was a game changer for me professionally. I tried to pick out some of the things that made me smarter, by looking at them.
You bet.
I think that Jeff did the same thing. So,
amen.
Yeah. So I'd say that's our top 10.
There it is. Boom. Next, we'll do. How many books do you have published?
13.
Okay, so the top 13 books coming next episode. So yeah, look out. We'll do another one on kind of books in general that really affected us as people.
Sure.
Right. Whatever. I think that'll probably be the next one. I don't
know how. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's. We'll get on it. We're in the mode. Yeah, back to back podcast. Here you go.
All right.
We'll see you in a few minutes.
Yeah.